Fellow Freedom fans, number here is 888-850-1872. As you heard Bethany say, appreciate her doing that audio for me. She's a superb young lady. She's got a worldview that to some, most would seem extreme, but I will tell you, it's what's going to preserve this nation. Ultimately, if we could preserve this nation, in the good old days, we were preserving the world. But if we forsake those things that have made this country great, then we're just going to die. We're just going to join. Should we join the ranks of Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Kuwait and Somalia and the Sudan and allow an anti-Christian perspective to, I mean, if you have, eventually, I'm telling you, there's going to be a void that's going to be filled. It's going to be filled with something. I think the void that we've created in America has allowed statism, the worship of the state in the works of man's hands, and the use, and then turning over as an offering the power of the sword to the state to basically force everybody to essentially worship the state. Then you're going to have that. Get rid of Christianity. An alternative would be a theocratic statism, that there's a theocracy that has the power of the sword that would kill you if you get off the track. Let's say in your conscience, you really want to be able to obey God. Well, in certain countries, if you do that according to your conscience, you'll be killed. Not in America. The reason why there's been freedom in America is because you had these extreme Christians. Christian extremists have secured our liberty. Yes, they have. In fact, there's people overseas, and the people that got medals in World War II, there were people who, because of their obedience to God, would not kill anybody. But you know what they were willing to do? They didn't mind being killed or being put in a situation of danger, and they became medics. So many medics were given the Medal of Honor. Some of those were what was called pacifists, so to speak. They were mocked and called cowards because they weren't willing to fight. They were called unpatriotic. An American, you know what it was? You got these lunatic Christians who had convictions, and they're willing to take the ridicule and put, even to the point where they weren't hiding behind walls with pistols. They were running out in front of the walls to grab the guys who were down and to bring them back to safety. It's a worldview, folks. It has consequences. So I'm trying to inspire people to at least check into what I say, at least check into what I'm looking at. If I keep mentioning the Christian thing, I want you to read what Jesus said. You don't have to listen to me, but just investigate it, would you? Don't be such a smarty pants that you got it all figured out. Let's get back to a reference. I say a constitutional reference, a biblical reference, and the reference of right versus wrong. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play something again. I played something earlier that was said by Ronald Reagan 48 years ago, and he was talking about, he was speaking against socialized medicine, bless his heart. He was saying that it was really a mechanism to get the foot in the door for statism in all things. Okay, so let's see what the guy from Death Valley Days had to say.
We could be excused for believing that, as ex-Congressman Foran said, this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, "Since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." They want to attach this bill to Social Security, and they say, "Here is a great insurance program now instituted, now working." Let's take a look at Social Security itself. Again, very few of us disagree with the original premise that there should be some form of saving that would keep destitution from following unemployment by reason of death, disability, or old age. And to this end, Social Security was adopted. But it was never intended to supplant private savings, private insurance, pension programs of unions and industries. Now, in our country, under our free enterprise system, we have seen medicine reach the greatest heights that it has in any country in the world. Today, the relationship between patient and doctor in this country is something to be envied anyplace. The privacy, the care that is given to a person, the right to choose a doctor, the right to go from one doctor to the other. But let's also look from the other side at the freedom the doctor loses. A doctor would be reluctant to say this. Well, like you, I'm only a patient, so I can say it in his behalf. The doctor begins to lose freedoms. It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another. First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients. They're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town. They already have enough doctors. You have to go someplace else. And from here, it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. I know how I'd feel if you, my fellow citizens, decided that to be an actor, I had to become a government employee and work in a national theater. Take it into your own occupation or that of your husband. All of us can see what happens once you establish the precedent that the government can determine a man's working place and his working methods, determine his employment. From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, to determining his pay. And pretty soon, your son won't decide when he's in school where he will go or what he will do for a living. He will wait for the government to tell him where he will go to work and what he will do. In this country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in world's history, the only true revolution. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another. But here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relation to man, a little group of men, the founding fathers, for the first time, established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. This freedom was built into our government with safeguards. We talk democracy today, and strangely, we let democracy begin to assume the aspect of majority rule is all that is needed. Well, majority rule is a fine aspect of democracy, provided there are guarantees written in to our government concerning the rights of the individual and of the minorities.
The rights of the individual and minorities, built-in guarantees. In other words, that the power of the sword could not overcome freedom. It gives an opportunity, I think, for people to participate in certain aspects of government. What Reagan described, I will tell you, when they instituted Social Security, is they were duped. There was a financial crisis going on, and they're using any kind of crisis whatsoever to institute government control. That's what's going on. That's what's always gone on. It's a great opportunity to seize power when you've got a crisis. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Our lack of faith begets, and our lack of acting in faith to do that which is right, that which is constitutional, biblical, and right, is going to lead us into slavery. That's what happens. So we're looking for a few brave men. In America, the home of the free and the brave, there's a requisite for freedom. It's bravery. It's courage. What have we got? Most people don't want it. They just would like to be complacent. They would like to be comforted and to have somebody tell them what they want to hear. How would you like to have a job? How would you like to have inspiration where Almighty God says, hey, I want you to go tell people what they don't want to hear, Dave. There's my mission for you. Stop what you're doing and go tell people what they don't want to hear. Moses was like that. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But you don't understand. I've got a funding stream here, says Pharaoh. Don't take my funding stream. That's what's going on here, folks. We're converting human beings to funding streams. Having a good excuse to envelop everybody into a funding stream. Now, Mr. Mackey, that we read an article from the Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, he is a successful businessman because he is succeeding in his business. That's what he's doing. He's doing it well. He's not a member of Congress. He's doing with his funding stream? He's taking care of his employees. He's loving his neighbor as himself. He's giving incredible by his own free market economy, as free market and inspirations and creativity, creating and creating a market for good food for people that's healthy, and they're buying into it. And you know what? He's taking his profits and passing it on to those who he loves as he's inspired, as a duty of religion. Okay? That's what he's doing. But that is really, how are we going to act like Mr. Mackey if we have the wrong worldview? If we think, that's why I just tell you, I hate to go into isms, like progressivism, conservativism, or liberalism. The problem is with isms, they're all religious views, and they're going to take us off of truth. Are you willing to not conform to a particular, say, a Southern Baptist norm? When you go into your church, do you go in and feel a sense of a threat if you're not saying things just the right way? A Methodistism. When you go to your Methodist church, are you concerned about, well, let me say what everybody wants me to say and I'll fit in? Are you tempted to do that? What I'd like to do with this show is encourage people to step back, forget their isms, and have a little, I love to use the term chutzpah, to get back and figure out what should my reference be? What should I think about this? When I used to think about immigration, I would conform to a certain ism norm, and I could see some rational things. But when I stepped back and looked at a biblical basis, I had to actually change my views on immigration. And there's some views of it, but I couldn't swing the pendulum too far in one direction because there's other biblical provisions about immigration and the law of the land that caused me not to go too far. But what's your reference? And sometimes when I look at what could be a pragmatic thing to do, he looked at Mr. Lincoln and his suspending habeas corpus instead of having the Congress suspend habeas corpus. We look at Mr. Bush suspending habeas corpus instead of having the Congress suspending habeas corpus. And I say, well, you know, pragmatically, I could see why we'd be motivated to do it. No. If you're in that situation, what you're obligated to do, what's going to preserve our society if we stop and say, as much as I'd like to suspend habeas corpus right now, because I remember that I have a tendency toward corrupt behavior if left to myself, let me do the constitutional thing in spite of what I believe. So let me go to Congress and say, hey, Congress, I'd like to suspend habeas corpus. And if you tell me no, then I won't do it. I'm going to leave this constitutionally into the hands that the Constitution says. So it's the same thing. Hey, biblically, we're not allowed to take vengeance. Vengeance is mine, God says. But I've got a pragmatic reason for doing this. If I don't do this, they're going to get away with murder. The biblical take on, watch this. How about this? What if somebody commits treason and you don't have two or more witnesses to be able to prove treason? But if we don't prove treason, this person will go scot-free and they could do it again. Too bad, so sad. What does the Constitution say about convicting somebody of treason? Two or more witnesses or confession in open court. Too bad, so sad. Okay, O.J. Simpson, he might get away. We don't have, and the Bible says, before two or more witnesses on capital punishment, let every word be established. If you don't have two or more witnesses, you got to let them go free. Are you willing? Do you have the faith? Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Do you have the freedom? Do you have the willingness to forget your pragmatism called progressivism and get back to the rule of law and just trust that God has ordained it and he's going to show off on our behalf? Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. Keep tuning in, Legal 104.3 FM, and come back. Give us a call at 888-850-1872.